Thank you for inviting me here, especially for to Professor. I would like to thank Professor Bhaskaran who invited me and wish him well. So the title of my talk is yes, like I said, the multitude of percolative orders, and I'll be talking about the cascade of geometric free transitions, and I'll talk about these what are those transitions, right? So this is the work I'm presenting. It's published in two of these papers, which I have referenced. And this is a work done in close collaboration with Dr. Timonin from Southern Federal University in Russia. And I have to particularly acknowledge the support of SharkNet, because that is essentially heavily numerical work. And these calculations we were doing were made possible due to these excellent facilities they have. So since I'm not sure about the background of people who work in different fields, I'll spend some time on the basic explaining these models we deal with and some basic notions of percolation. I'm sorry if maybe for some of you it might be like too, you know, plain vanilla, but just in case. I will be talking about this, the first model we introduced about the hidden percolation transition that model, basically that what is like a popular topic of hidden orders in the current literature. And it turns out that we have seen this type of transition in the classical model. And then I will talk about similar transitions, basically about the multiple transitions in different related models, which are pretty well known in the literature. In the literature, and researchers were studying this model for maybe like five decades or roughly or more. And then I'll wrap up, of course, and will indicate directions of future work or work in progress, if I can put it this way. So the models, what type of models we are going to see today. So those are quasi-two-dimensional stories. That's basically one spatial, one-time dimension, right? So we're looking at the chains where the there is a classical variable, basically two-way variable with like filling factor 1, 2, where the site is occupied or empty. In the context of biological applications, they call it like dead alive, right? And we'll look at the evolution of these chains in time, right? So the model I'm just discussing, the model we'll introduce, it's very similar to many models already known in the literature, works in this way. So we randomly throw up the initial condition at, let's say, time zero. So we fill up this chain with one and zeros randomly. Then they have these rules, the rules of evolution of this model, right? So let's say, let's go from here. If one of like nearest neighbor site to the next site is filled, or couple of them, or three of them, there is a p probability that the site, this live state, will propagate to this next site. Then there is a probability q for these tilted hops in the lattice, right? And from one single occupied site from the left and from the right. And there is a probability, assigned probability for the situation where the probably it will be going to better this way, where left or right, and right sides neighbors are occupied. And this is essentially non-equilibrium situation. So there is a dead state, or the state which doesn't have basically coming back. So the empty state cannot create a live state never, right? So the common wisdom on these models is that they have two possible states. One is called active state, which is basically you see like field, and the other is absorbing or the dead state, right? Depending on the parameters, when time goes to infinity, we have possibility to have either active state as you see here in example, or you can do this mental exercise and invert black to white and you'll see the dead state, right? So essentially we're looking at the time evolution and when t goes to infinity, looking at the situation, what happens in the limit, right? These models are very popular in different fields. As you see, they have very large field of applications, ranging from basically what is close to us to some exotic from viewpoint of few physicists fields, including networks, which I believe now becomes a very active field of research. Now, sorry for plain statement, so just a brief reminder. So what kind of terminology I'm going to use about the simple percolation? Basically, percolation, there are a few types of percolation phase or percolative phase, which kind of well-known in literature, and we'll be talking about one particular case. So here is a simple case of side percolation, right? So the lattice is fixed, and then we throw randomly active or dead sides on the lattice in these nodes, right? And we check whether there is a connected path from one end of the cluster to another. When there is a connected path, then it percolation. Usually it happens at some critical point, which is calculated here for two-dimensional lattice. And this is a conventional phase transition in the sense of Landau. This is a continuous phase transition where the order parameter, which is capacitance of these percolating clusters, grows from infinity with some known critical index, right? There are other type of percolation also popular in the literature. So there is a so-called isotropic bond percolation where instead of sides, people analyze bonds. So the same procedure, just instead of sides, you drop bonds, right? And that is what is basically important for us. This is called directed bond percolation, where the propagation is due to some model restrictions is basically restricted in one particular direction, only that's what we count, right? So what relates these directed bond percolation to the model which I introduced before, or similar models of this quasi two-dimensional cellular automata, is that essentially instead of looking or analyzing dead or live or active or absorbing states in the quasi 2D model, we can look at this problem as a problem of percolation, which is basically equivalent way of seeing it, right? And here you see the example. So when a certain parameter is small, let's say the concentration or whatever, right? So the life size die off in time, right? And that is what basically non-percolating phase. Or there is the opposite situation and there is a critical point where this basically happens, right? So I already mentioned that these percolative phase transitions are also classified in the same way like conventional Landau theory deals with. So we can introduce order parameter, we can introduce correlation length. Here, due to the particular anisotropy in the model, because we have time direction, this time error and space, we will be dealing with two correlation lengths, like transverse and longitudinal, and there are two indices related to those correlation lengths. There is this standard notation for the critical index for the order parameter, and of course, we can get all the other indices from standard hyperscaling relations, right? So the the indices actually are non-trivial in a sense, like there is no exact solutions or whatever, just to give those indices. Even like models look pretty simple, they are non-trivial. What is important for us, that most of the models I'm going to talk about today, they all fall into the category of the DP, directed percolation universality class. So there is a so-called Janssen-Grasberger conjecture, which goes back to 80s, and for particular set of models, they considered the universality class should be DP, right? So here I give some conditions, and it turns out that basically what we present is a bit larger class, because they were talking about single absorbing phase. We were talking about a multitude of, active phases, a multitude of those phases. And however, we'll see that the critical indices of those transitions also belong to that universality class. The numbers I'll show later what exactly those critical indices. So it's probably not important at this point. So coming back to the model I gave you in the introduction. So what we get here. So this is a model with two parameters, as I mentioned, related to the probabilities of propagating of the live seeds in the in this lattice. So there are these PQ parameters, and here we have three phases. Okay, so let me first emphasize that this line here divides basically a absorbing state, there's a dead state, and live active states. We'll call them F and AF because because of our background, we always think in terms of ferromagnetism, antiferromagnetism. They resemble a little bit what we would call ferromagnetic phase on antiferromagnetic. So that was a conventional wisdom for a few decades that there is only one active phase, which is just basically here, right? So so we just checked the transition between actin and ferromagnetic phase, this first active phase. If we do a finite size scale analysis, collapse is usually well-known techniques, right? So we can extract from those data the critical indices, and when we short many points on this phase transition curve, and see that the critical indices are those of the DP universality class. And here, as like I said, when I mentioned that the numbers and I will show later. So here is alpha. Of course, it's similar to heat capacity index, but it's not, of course. It's just so those are a couple of indices for this dynamical index. That's basically correlation length, and the others we didn't present because they can be easily calculated. So the bottom line is that here is a conventional transition, and the phase here has a conventional local order parameter, like in the sense it's trivial in the sense of Landau. You just calculate the filling, and that's basically gives you the order parameter. Now about the this ferromagnetism antiferromagnetism phase. Like if we look at the direct simulation data here, right? So this is ferromagnetic phase, which basically is like you have more like 1-1-1. You can think about like spin up, right? So that's what we call ferromagnetism. It's just conventional active phase. And here you can probably understand why we call it antiferromagnetic phase. Because at the far end, right, in depth of this phase, where the apparent of these antiferromagnetic type of correlations are strongest, you see almost like a really perfect order 0-1-0-1-0-1. But when you and when we did mean field, just a simple mean field calculation of that model. That's basically how we get to those results. The mean field predicted two conventional local orders. Like one is just regular filling, and that corner, the phase, it was predicting basically disbalance if we cut our if we divide our sublattice and like in, lattice on the two sublattices A and B as usual in the antiferromagnetism. So mean field predicts that you would have a shift in the filling of those sublattices similar to antiferromagnetism, and that's what you see. Like it's basically like 1 0 1 0 1 0. But what happens if you do numerically? If you calculate numerically, you'll see that there is no such order. So there is no any local order related to that particular arrangement. But you kind of feel that those phases look a little bit different. But this is this example where you don't really see local order parameter. In fact, it turns out that the local the order parameter is very tricky in this phase in order to see. So how we get it? So first we have to divide the lattice into this pair of nearest neighbors, like you see here, and basically attribute a new dual parameter, if you wish, or effective parameter instead of initial filling related to these pairs, right? Pairs. If you have like two dead states or two filled states, like here, you assign zero. And if you have antiferromagnetism, like 1 0, right? So you give plus one if it's in this order, or minus one if it's just it's a flipped dipole, roughly, right?
So, sorry, can I,
yes.
Is there a symmetry between black and white? So that's the order parameter.
No. There is. This is what I'm saying. That the if you look at the real raw data, right? There is no local order. So there is a you see that maybe there is a quasi local order, like one, let's say black it's one, zero is it's empty, right? But when you calculate the filling of sublattices, its displacement is zero. There is no asymmetry. It's just it's visual, right? So there is no local symmetry breaking. Oh, in the ferromagnetic phase, you have just basically you have filling non-zero filling, right?
But can you think of
it
in terms of proper symmetry?
You can if you translate it in some sort of Hamiltonian, yeah. So but this is I'm mainly talking in terms of local order. There is a conventional local order, right? Because you just you calculate the concentration, and you will see that there is a non-zero at time infinity filling of those size, which is just a conventional order parameter. So, here, like I said, in order to see this order, which we call like hidden antiferromagnetic percolative order, so we need to do a few steps. So like I said, we introduce this kind of new effective lattice where we unify those couples into new sites, right? And we assign this new parameter like one or minus one or zero, whether depending on what is the arrangement, right? And then we basically look at the percolation of those variables plus minus one. Zero is excluded because it's not interesting. And if you see here, this is what I show. This is where we are very close to this, I don't know what's in coordinate. In my computer was sharp here. I see that's not very sharp. Yeah, but here is the phase diagram, right? So here is the line which divides this conventional ferromagnetic phase from the hidden percolating antiferromagnetic phase, right? And we're close to the critical line. So if on both sides, virtually, you don't see any distinction. Why? They're like this, right? Now, if you work with these new dual variables, that's what you see here. So the green color is essentially trivial, either no order or just zeros, whatever, just to disregard it, right? And then you have red size are those which have lambda plus, which is basically 1 0, and the green, the blue one is flipped, like 0 1, so it's minus one. So you see that this phase actually is percolating in terms of these new variables. And here, if you shift just a little bit parameters, so this, you see the percolation basically quickly dies off. Like, and if you just shift a little bit, you won't see this hidden percolation. But they're both percolating in a trivial sense, like this n, this trivial order parameter is present in both phases, right? So this is something on the top, right? Now if we analyze this new anti-ferromagnetic percolating order parameter, as we did before, as I showed, right? And you do the conventional scaling analysis, so you'll find the critical indices, which again belong to this the same universality class, right? And the thing which I have to emphasize here, the only track of this non-local hidden order and this transition in terms of conventional simple orders is that what we see that there is a growth of anti-ferromagnetic domains. So this, like when we look at the on those stripes or chains and look at the anti-ferromagnetic domains, the average size growing, but there is no divergence, it's just a crossover. So what I have to emphasize is that crossover in local variables, conventional local variables, is seen as a phase transition in terms of non-local hidden the anti-ferromagnetic parameter. I'll show the analytic expression for that parameter just a little bit later for the in the context of another model, right? So just before I go to another model, just to summarize, right? So what we saw is that basically the phase, so I have this phase there. The active or percolating phase of that model, which lies above this dead, right? Which somehow is not seen well yet. So this is percolative, but inside this percolative phase, there are some new features which we found via this basic analysis, and we see that in fact the percolating phase is not uniform. There is a region where there is a very subtle order parameter, which basically kind of gives more extra dimension to the percolation, right? So instead of just saying that there's a single phase, you see like a different facets of the same order, which are subtle, right? Oh, those, I'll go back to the probably better picture, which is, here, PQ. So those are parameters, basically, these parameters related to the probability of creation sites, right? So these are, okay? So yeah, so then we thought that it could be that this is, because this model is basically not very much different from models known in literature. So we thought that might be some, yeah.
These simulations are done on finite systems, right?
Right.
Or even, no, finite systems.
Finite, of course, yeah. So this is, like when I'm showing, this is the finite size analysis when you just take, scale and collapse and, yeah. So the idea was that probably there is nothing very special related to that model, probably, we see some generic feature of percolation, and in fact, if we look closer with these ideas to the other models which are known in literature, we might find something interesting. And that's basically what we did. So we took two models on the top of our model which we introduced, so two models which are kind of Drosophila fly-like in this subfield, right? So this is model of directed percolation, where it has only single parameter. It's even simpler than the model we had before. So this is type of lattice you have, right? And the creation of life or dead site and the next step is given by those conditional probabilities or transfer probabilities, as you see here. And this is related to the two neighbors, right? The probability to have site side active or dead side here depend on the probabilities of left and right neighbors, as shown, right? So it turns out that the percolating phase, and this this is conventional wisdom we expect the literature, what the conventional wisdom of the literature, there are two models expected. And in fact, we of course will find them. One is percolating, one is not, and there is a critical point, right? But it turns out that if we look at these similar hidden orders, percolating order inside the percolating phase, we found more order parameters and more phase transitions, right? So here I give some examples. So first, you can basically look at the percolation not along the whole lattice, but percolation on the sublattice, given sublattice. That's one class of order parameters you can find easily. The other is basically creating what we call like different backbone. Basically, it's our choice. We similar to what we discussed with the two sides, we can take a couple or we can take a plaquette, maybe like three or four, unify them into a single effective side, and then look at the percolation of those plaquettes or group or other clusters. The other thing is, of course, when we go into this framework, we have a freedom now to assign the bonds along the lattice because the hops, whatever, are not well defined. So we have another possibility. And here we have some examples, right? So the bottom line is, the bottom line is here that the table shows a different type of sublattices and hubs we create and plaquettes and etc. And we have a large number of critical points. And basically, it turns out that the number of those transitions is limited to your imagination and time you basically have at your disposal to find more and more phase transitions. That's why basically there is a name, there is a word infinite cascade in the title, right? So now I said that I will show it later, this order parameter. The order parameter is similar to what many people of you probably saw in the context of different quantum systems. That's basically the capacitance of these connected backbones are connected lattices or sublattices can be related basically due to the average over these string-like parameters where basically we want to check to make sure that the cluster is connected, right? So that's why you have a string of n's along a path, right? Whenever n is zero, because this two-state system, n is 1 and 0. Whenever you have 0, the string breaks apart, and of course, you just you don't have contribution into the percolative cluster. So that's what basically what you calculate numerically, unfortunately. And that's how you get the order parameter. The other thing which I show here, when we introduced essentially plaquettes or basically cells on the lattice in order to create a new unit, then it's up to us how we define the order parameter. We can, for instance, count as a field plaquette, let's say, which has, for instance, two life size, or three, or four. I mean, hypothetically, even one, right? So this is the parameter we used, and that's what I've shown in the table. And basically, each of those options is a legitimate choice of order and order parameter. And then we can calculate. So here, just like I've shown a few of them, right? So if you look at the real data, how they look like in the real simulation, this is to some extent similar to what we saw for another model, where you have different types. And here we just show directly in terms of this new backbone. So we have these active sites, live sites, and I'm afraid it's probably not very well seen types of order we have. So here is it is basically just sublattice, right? Two sides of 4A, and here you have sublattice with different hopes and also with different fillings on the plaquette, like three or four, like I've told you that basically we can count a plaquette field if there are three active states inside or four, and that gives us different critical points, right? So if we analyze, and I give only one picture, if we analyze these order parameters from conventional finite scaling, so and then we can get indices, critical indices, they're all from the same universality class, right? So here there is another standard model from the literature, contact process, and this phase diagram with two colors, empty absorbed phase, active phase, also absorbing phase, it's called, right? This is standard, this is known, right? And what we found here, there are these new phase transition related to these additional percolative patterns, which I've shown here. I will discuss some examples in more detail, but what I have to emphasize here, and basically it applies to the previous case, but it's less visual because in this model we have only one parameter, so there is no like a nice graph to plot, right? So what I have to emphasize that those lines, of course, lie within any doubt, they're not like artifacts on some numerical finite size effects or whatever. So the critical lines are, of course, well separated from the other known phase transition, right? So this model, you see, it's very similar to the model we introduced. It basically has only one minor difference in the definition of probabilities. So so it's very similar to the model with antiferromagnetic, this hidden percolative order, which I discussed before. So here again, I give you the data, raw data for the percolation in this model of contact process, right? So here this is on sublattice. So here there are plaquettes with different fillings and different type of bonds, right? And once again, if you go to the critical scaling analysis, you see that there is a that those transitions belong to the same universality class. So let me just first give some conditions, and I would like to spend some time on discussion of those results rather in relation to the other transitions, right? So what I want to emphasize, yeah, before I forget. So of course I didn't show here, we went back to the model with this antiferromagnetic percolating phase and looked for more type of percolative order in that phase of that model and saw him as well, right? So basically we looked at three models and see multiple phase transition, right? So so the conjecture is in fact that there is an infinite cascade or staircase, some people would say, right, of those phase transitions related to the different percolating patterns. In fact, what we saw, this order parameter, parameters detect different percolating patterns, and those orders are non-local. I have to emphasize that these kind of string-like order parameters we deal with, right? And we have another conjecture that those cascades are a generic feature of percolation, and they should be seen in different type of systems, right? So if I have this second type of conclusion, basically what we see when we look at these orders, like detailed structure of percolation. So if we see this duct in a kind of active or dead percolating, non-percolating picture, so we can describe, probably trying to guess like black and white, similar to what I've shown, right? So we can see that you have only two phases, right? And if you deal with these hidden percolating orders, you basically bring in some extra dimension similar to color in order to see these many phases which are in fact hidden inside this percolating phase, right? So now I would like to spend some time in order to make a connection between these transitions and other transitions you see. So first of all, this is like I said, this is sort of work in progress, and some thoughts which we just dealing with now, right? So what we know, like I kind of loosely call this kind of proper phase transitions with non-local orders, which are well known, for instance, and now it's very popular in the context of, for instance, quantum magnetism, right? So here I give one example, my favorite. If you take, like, for instance, a dimerized ladder, two-leg ladder, you know that the ladder, even without dimerization, doesn't have any long-range order, spin 1/2, right? Anti-ferromagnetic ladder doesn't have any local order. It has some non-local orders and hidden order, spontaneous breaking of symmetry, which can be viewed by some non-trivial way if you go to the non-local spin order parameters. Then if you manage to make a dual transformation from spin orders to local spins via type of Fradkin-Susskind transformation, then you can see those spin orders as conventional orders in terms of these new spins, which are basically have nothing to do with the original spins, right? So here I just showed some results. Sorry, they're just too small, but essentially this model, why I'm calling proper, because it has, if you can basically write it in terms of fermionic Hamiltonian, with some approximation, you can write it as a quadratic Hamiltonian, similar to the Hamiltonians you know from in the context of topological insulators, et cetera, et cetera. So you will see that there is a gap in the spectrum. So there is a critical line here. There are dimerization versus couplings, right? So, and those phases are just related to some hidden orders, string orders, which are like even odd, they called, if I use the terminology of Kim and others. Right here, there are some papers. This is Spanish group. They calculated hidden orders. So you see that this string order is vanishing in one phase, and the other string order is appearing in the other phase. Right. So this is the proper transition in the sense like you have the real transition. You see it in the gap, etc. Right. However, non-local. The question which you ask: geometric phase transition. Why they're called geometric? So here the singularity can be traced back to the analytical structure of the partition function. So if you're smart enough, if you manage to get the analytical structure, you will see those phase transitions in the singularities of similar to Li-Yan singularities, right? Geometric phase transition. One of the most well-known, and it's in the context where these terms appeared, geometric phase transition was the Eisen model, two-dimensional Eisen model in the magnetic field. We know that a two-dimensional Eisen model in the magnetic field does not have a phase transition. From Li-Yan results, it's known that the only phase transition in this model, and it's known from exact solution, happens at zero magnetic field, right? However, If and it was an activity popular from 70s and even up to now, you can cast the problem of Ising transition into the problem of percolation of ferromagnetic clusters. The original proposal was due to Michael Fisher back in '60s, right? So there are some work which can basically map this problem on the percolative problem, and you can calculate the Ising model transition of conventional transition as a percolative transition. The problem is that it spills into the phase, into the part of the phase diagram with H, non-zero H, where there is no phase transition. So there is no singularity, there is nothing in the analytical structure of partition function, which basically has to do with this transition. That's why they're called geometrical or geometric phase transition, because they do not have a they are not encoded into the structure of partition function. In fact, those transitions are due to the non-local, those transitions you see only in non-local correlations, right? And because percolation, as I showed you like a few slides ago, they can be cast in the language of string-like operators, right? And probably even more simple cases of what is called counting phase transition is another type. Counting and geometric phase transition at the same time. Counting phase transition, I don't know who was the first, I learned it from a paper by Ivanov and Abanov. They studied it in the context of different quantum models, but the most probably interesting example is just a simple Ising chain, not in transverse, not quantum, classical chain, in the external field. And they also found a phase transition in some string in some string correlation function, non-local correlation function, which of course do not have any counterpart in the Z, in the partition function. So this those class of transitions are basically I just unified it here. Those are in this sense they are distinct from this proper, right? So there is a something in the analytical structure of partition function. There are singularities or poles, whatever you can find, right? There is nothing here. Basically, the partition function does not give any phase transition. The only thing which you see in non-local correlations, right? So basically, the work I'm interested in, it's like sort of unifying this. I think that's very interesting direction of the research, and basically, yeah, this is where I would like to end my talk. Thank you very much for your attention.
So, any questions?
So, at one point, you had a large number of different parameters, but how did you select those, or how did you end up choosing them and identifying them in your interface? And did you just try a large number of them on every point of your simulation and see if one of them would sort of start to change?
Yeah. So they basically say trial. Some of those parameters are not independent, right? Because they are like most likely they are proportional in a sense, like to the to each other, right? Especially when you do some simple like plaquette size of extension, they are not independent, right? So they see that they basically come up from the same critical point, right? So essentially, like you have these. Whatever PC, right? So you see, these order parameters coming from the same within the accuracy, like when n goes to infinity, you see that they collapse to the one. So they are not independent. So we didn't show them because I don't have a recipe book for this order parameter. It's kind of intuitive. So we tried, what we see them. Most of them, I believe some of them are shown from the table, I forgot. Maybe they are similar, coming from the same critical point. But the others are just really like you have a cascade. So they really well separated and you have different critical points.
Okay. Even on infinite systems, you say they are have, so these different percolating order parameters.
Right.
They have different, they percolate different critical.
Yeah, that's what I was saying here.
So,
here, you see, critical lines are really well separated from each other.
So doesn't this sort of, so how does this, because I think if you have a protocol in a system which is critical, then shouldn't it be, how does this, like, it should be self-similar at some point, right? So does this so that under coarse grain it should not mount to itself?
Well,
is there some?
It's when this question,
so
I guess it comes from in many phases, like for mother audience. When you do coarse grain and simple coarse grain, right? So in a sense, like when you kind of kadana kind of pitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you do not get any new critical point.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm really. So you have like if you measure magnetization m or 2m or 4m or 5m, of course you'll get the same. So you will have something like this, right? But these points, they're not self-similar. I don't know why they should be. So what I see, they are not, right? So they are distinct order parameters. They have their own critical point. The only thing which is common for them. It's a critical index or set of critical indices, universality class, right? But even this, for a general situation, it might be not the case, right? So to give you an analogy with some probably because I know that quite a lot of people here working in quantum chains, ladders, etc. For instance, if you this ladder example I've shown, right? For instance, in ladders, in quantum ladders, there was string order parameters. Spins. Of course, they are spin, not like for a chain. There is no problem to define string order parameter. You write like sigma, right? Blah, blah, blah. And there is a product of those sigmas. There is no problem. But for ladder already, you have a freedom to take order parameters, right? So for instance, you can basic symptoms of what we did. So you there are two order parameters known in the literature. You take summation on the rung. You sum up these spins, and then you basically multiply, make a string out of these two. This is what I mentioned it's known. I keep mixing them up. One is known even, one is odd. The other one, you sum instead of this, you sum right here, and you make another string. And they're different. One with one can be zero in one phase and non-zero in another, and vice versa, right? For three-leg ladder, that's what I worked with my student. We did some. For three ladder, you have even like more choices, right? So you might take string order like this, summing up. You can take like this, or you can probably take this three and then put a string, and they will have different critical behavior. And some of them you cannot depending on the phase. Some of them you cannot even call like order parameter because it's kind of flat featureless function, right? So and those I don't know why they should be still similar. I don't see what we see numerically beyond the kind of numerical precision. They are not, right. So you really have a cascade of transitions. They emerge. They are all continuous phase transitions. Like they smoothly emerge from a critical point. And
but I guess what you're asking is that at the critical point the system should. And you are saying,
but there are multitude of critical points. That's what I'm saying.
So that's the thing. So it's self-similar than everywhere, or
on each. Like that's what I'm asking is like each.
Then I don't understand the question.
I'm just wondering. Does it matter what pattern you choose for the order parameter let's say you are at the critical point,
right?
And the system should be self-similar. So in some sense, you could coarse grain and like choose pack. Let's say local patches, and then they should reproduce. Like the system.
No, but not all of them, because the other ones they are not critical at this point, right? So there is a. I thought I answered you at least like what I saw from numeric. There are some order parameters which are self-similar in the sense they're probably proportional, whatever they're related. They really emerge from same critical point. That's true. So they are not independent. Like so, we were not interested in them because this is kind of trivial issue, right? So we were interested in parameters which have their own critical points, right? And I don't I don't understand why if a system has a forget about this in principle, if a system has a multitude or whatever, a few critical points, they might be even different. They might have first order, second order transition. Then they are not related. I mean, they.
Do you think there is a way to
test to prove generalization
of
this type of phase transition or their presence?
Well, that's what I kind of hinted, or because, like I said, this I'm thinking about this and. Basically, looking at this, So to see basically how generic, how far we can go, So because what I stated, it was a set of conjectures, right? So what is measured, for sure, we have some models, like particular models. I give the answer for those particular models, but the rest is this is still conjecture, and that's what we want to see. For instance, I don't see why those, I already have some indications from my, other work that I know that these, for instance, these non-local order parameters in quantum spin ladders or quantum spin probably two-dimensional system, they are different. So why don't, it's not possible to find this type of cascades? I think they might be something and that should be looked at, yes.
Like when we study quantum critical systems, is this measured of the fidelity and this detects?
Well, this is another interesting point. So there are there are different non-locals. Fidelities, you can measure entanglement, singularity, right? So in some sense, like for instance, when you think about entanglement, right? So you, thinking that. So you basically averaging initially into some blocks, and then you construct a backbone out of these blocks, right? And you see singularities which you probably won't see in the simple when you calculate entanglement entropy, right? If you just calculate simple entropy, right? I guess you have nothing. Right. In order to see the feature, you have to basically to calculate first, let's say, subsystem B, right, and then write this calculate the entropy for the other part, and then you will see singularity, right? So here, like I said, so here we just basically we have this non-local order. So you average or you sum up with some kind of parts or class or backbones, right, to make the backbones, and then you see this feature, right? So I don't know. Actually, it's a good question. For those systems which are studied in the literature, I don't think that there is something about entanglement, whether they have some, for instance, features in the entropy. At least, the answer is yeah. At least for the thermodynamics, for simple entropy, if this is not encoded into Z, of course, you won't have any feature, right? Because for Eisen model, etc., But if you try to do something, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. So generally speaking, what would be the other parameters or other physical quantities where we can see those cascades, right? That's to be announced or confirmed or whatever.
Okay, any more questions? Well, if not, then let's thank you again.